What's up, Illini? I'm Peyton Wessner, and welcome to ISN Now, the official podcast of Illini Sports Night. It's the Luther Head episode, episode 4. You get it? Because head war number 4? You know what? Forget I said anything. Then again, my guest at this time did accomplish something Head was never able to do, win a national championship. He's fighting Illini wrestling royalty and a 3-time All-American, which includes an NCAA national championship at 149 pounds back in 2001. I can go further down the list of accolades and the fact he ranked second at the University of Illinois in career wins and held the career pins record for over a decade, but I'm sure I'm missing some of his most impressive accolades. It's none other than wrestling great and Fighting Illini Athletics Class of 2020 Hall of Famer, Adam Tirapelli. Adam, thank you very much for your time today. I hope all is well with you and yours. How are you?
Good, thanks for having me.
Of course. Maybe with that intro, it is best to start with your accomplishments. I can imagine what your answer is, but looking back at everything you achieved, what are you most proud of?
Boy, I mean, of course, every wrestler wants to win national championship. I mean, that's sort of the goal when you get to college, and I think it's something that you don't realize how hard it's going to be. Wrestlers sort of have high expectations and high opinions of themselves, and everybody thinks they're capable of getting it done. You just don't realize, magnitude that there can only be one person, and everybody's gunning for the same thing. And at the high school level, there's lots of states and lots of classes a lot of times. So being successful at the high school level is just it's such a huge step from high school to college. So I wanted to be national champ. Was close a couple of times, and then got it done as a senior. And I'd say that was definitely my most proud accomplishment.
Having those close times, obviously taking third your sophomore year, second your junior year, did that make it, when you won and became a national champion, that much more satisfying?
Yeah, I think so. Some of the times that I came up short at whatever level, probably allowed me to be even more successful in my career than had I won a few of those matches, because there's something about, almost doing something or, falling short of something you worked hard for, maybe you didn't work hard enough for, that motivates you. And, not to say that for sure things would have been different, but, it just drives you. Your failures always drive you more than your successes. So, coming up short, as a junior or as a sophomore, even though I had a good tournament there, as a junior, I really thought I was going to win. Lost in overtime in the finals, obviously a quality opponent. And then knowing how difficult it is, tournament's so difficult that, getting back to the finals being All-American is not guaranteed. Getting back to the finals is, really, really difficult. So I think you feel sorry for yourself for a second, but then you realize you got, one more year to train and, put your best foot forward, and then that's it. So
I should mention your brother, Alex, is the wrestler who surpassed your mark in career wins by just one match victory. That fact alone is a testament to your family lineage, though. You, Alex, and Troy have left quite the mark at Huff Hall. You, I guess, kind of started that tradition because you transferred from Stanford to go to Illinois, and now the rest is history.
Yeah, I mean, wrestling's it's a family sport. A lot of times the whole family's involved. Every school, obviously, in the country doesn't have wrestling. So it's not quite as wide open on where you can go and get a great education and have a quality wrestling program as maybe football or basketball or something like that. And so when I went to Illinois and just absolutely loved the school and the program, of course, the coaches, and coaches sort of set the tone for any program and what it's going to be like. And it's hard, coming from, California, quite different from Illinois and far. And seeing the type of program they ran, how much they cared about the guys and how much the guys enjoyed being around each other. The family atmosphere, obviously we all want to be successful and there's a competitive aspect, but it was just a great place to go. And so my brothers, I don't even think gave their schools really a second thought. It was just, it was such a good place, and they enjoyed being there when they came to camps as young kids, when I was wrestling there, that they, you know, they just wanted to go there too.
Does Alex ever bring the career wins record up at the dinner table at Thanksgiving, or do you quickly quiet him down with the mention of a national championship?
No, probably if anything, they sell themselves short a little bit, you know, because we're competitive, and, you know, I mean, Alex actually was very, very successful, was second as a freshman, you know, fourth as a sophomore, but a lot of success at the college level is, you know, things out of your control. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people have, like I said, goals to be national champs, great work ethic, you know, all the things it takes. He actually had a few injuries that derailed him a little bit, and so if anything, he always defers and says how I was better, and I don't know that was necessarily the case. It just, I was able to stay injury free my career. I had some good fortune on my side in addition to, you know, things that were in my control, and so I ended up having a, you know, maybe a better career on paper.
Since you have left the University of Illinois, you've started a family, have three children, and now work in financial services. Despite all the hustle and bustle, you still find time to coach at Clovis High School in California. How and why?
I think it's a big part of me. I've said this in, you know, interviews and everything I've ever done. I mean, I owe pretty much everything I have to wrestling. Not that I didn't give a lot. I did, but I mean, from the places it's taken me, the accomplishments, the college degree, my job, my clients, everything. I mean, it's like Kevin Bacon, like 6 degrees of separation. You know, it's like almost everything in my life, and maybe everything, can be tied in one way or another to wrestling. So, I mean, I owe the sport a lot. You know, my dad got me into it. I'm really happy to give back. And then, you know, at first it started out with just kind of giving back and just continuing to stay involved with it. And then the older I got, the more I realized that, you know, maybe I needed it a little bit more than it needed me, or, you know, we need each other, because it helps you to stay young. I like to be around the high school kids. I do wealth management for a living. Obviously, I'm working with a lot of older people, which I enjoy. I do enjoy the business world. But it's different, and it's nice to stay connected to, you know, to the youth sports, to, you know, to wrestling, and sort of have that balance in your life. So I really enjoy it. I've been doing it for 15 years or so after I spent 2 years as a grad assistant in Illinois, and now I'm getting my own kids that are 10. My two boys are 10 and 7, so they're starting to do some wrestling, and so I probably got a few more years in the sport.
When you see your sons start to pick up wrestling, how does that make you feel, considering how big of a part wrestling has been in your life?
I enjoy it. I mean, I want them to learn from the sport. Like, you know, my family is a little different. You know, maybe it's why we were able to be successful in some ways. And I know it's more of a, you know, a world where you get to do what you want whenever you want nowadays. But, you know, I told my boys when they were young that they were going to wrestle. They don't have to be great at it. I'm not going to be mad if they're not great, but I believe it's good for them. You know, it's going to teach a lot of things that I use today. Their life skills, how to overcome adversity. I mean, I can tell you numerous times in the last 20 years that things have happened that, you know, you think back of some of your wrestling experiences, and, you know, I always think about, you know, wrestling and NCAA championships in front of 17,000 people, and, you know, your whole career comes down to, you know, one moment. It's like there's literally nothing that can be, you know, more pressure, more nerve-wracking, more intense than that. So, you know, I know Gable said once you wrestled, everything else in life is easy. I don't know if it's easy, but it puts it in perspective. So my boys wrestle, and I'm happy to watch them. I really enjoy watching them get stuff out of the sport. They're both not all world. You know, they take quite a few losses as well as, you know, get some victories, but I know they're growing from it, and they're learning how to, like I said, overcome adversity and compete out there. And you know, it's actually good for the people I'm around too, because they know what I did in wrestling, and, you know, they watch my sons as they are kind of growing up, and, you know, I look at them and go, see, you're not born with it. Like, you don't just pop out of the womb and know how to wrestle. Like, it's a learned skill. Like, you have to work at it. It takes time. And so watching my kids, who aren't, like I said, they're not all world from, you know, from the very beginning, they're developing just like everybody else. You know, shows that, you know, it gives the idea that, hey, everybody can do this. Like, if you're willing to put in the time and the effort, you can be good at this. It's not like, oh, it's Terrapellis, you're just born with wrestling. They're just good at it. It's like, no, these are my kids. They're Terrapellis, and they got to work at it just like everybody else.
We're joined by Adam Terrapelli, 2001 national champion in wrestling and member of the 2020 Fighting Illini Hall of Fame class here on ISN Now. Adam, at Clovis, of course, you are an assistant wrestling coach underneath your father. What do you find the most rewarding part of coaching?
I think just watching the kids grow. You know, I really enjoy watching a kid. A lot of times out here, they start with us in, you know, called 6th or 7th grade. And you get to see their development process, you know, both as, you know, young men and wrestlers, and the relationship that we develop with them as coaches. You know, at first it starts off with, you know, a lot of us telling them what to do and, you know, how to be successful. And I think by the end, you know, I like to watch our juniors and senior kids come through where, you know, they developed a relationship where we don't have to be on them all the time. It's just more of a, you know, they know they're doing it for them. I think the most rewarding thing is watching them reach a goal, just because, you know what it feels like, and you help them, help them through. And typically reaching a goal requires helping them through a lot of tough times and a lot of self-doubt and questioning and, not to mention training and all the things that go through it. And they always, you know, overthink me and overthink us as coaches. I mean, we obviously help them, but at the end of the day, I always tell them, you did the work. Like, you did it. You know, we didn't do it. I didn't wrestle any matches for you. You know, we're just showing you how to be successful. And if you take it and you run with it, then, you know, you can achieve a lot in the sport.
Speaking of coaching, you were under Mark Johnson and Jim Heffernan during your college years. Heffernan has now been the head coach at Illinois for the last 11 years, and you've said he is someone who would give you the shirt off his back. If you wouldn't mind sharing, what memories with Heffernan really showcase his character?
Oh, man, Heff would do anything for you. Like, Heff was just, like, the silent guy. You know, I mean, he's a quiet guy. You could tell how nervous he got before we wrestled. Again, just because they care so much. And the same with Mark. Mark's just a different personality. One good example was we go on trips, right? And of course, we just talked about wrestling as a weight class sport. So you'd have to work out, which means you have to bring extra clothes, and they'd be all sweaty. And, you know, it's a pain in the butt. And Hef would, like, collect everybody's clothes and, like, go wash them at the laundromat. You know, you're talking about you drive to Michigan, you wrestle them on Friday, and then you drive over to East Lansing and wrestle Michigan State on Sunday, and he'd be over at the laundromat on, you know, Saturday night, washing everybody's clothes. And I mean, just like I said, just a great guy. I mean, he would do anything it took to for us to be successful. And really the same for Mark. They're just different personalities, and it was a good yin and yang, and I think that's why the program had so much success. You know, you can't have, you need a good cop, bad cop. You can't have everybody playing the same role, and they played two different roles. And Mark was we always called him the politician or the mayor. Like, everybody knew Mark, everybody loved Mark, and deservedly so. But Hef was a much quieter, behind the scenes type guy. But all the kids on the team, you know, from my era and beyond, would tell you what kind of a person he is. I mean, you can talk to Isaiah Martinez, you can talk to anybody who's come through since then, and I guarantee they'd have just nothing but, you know, glowing remarks about Jim and the kind of person he is and how much he really cares about kids.
Oh, most definitely. I know that's something I've picked up on in covering the team this year. Very quiet, but you can never doubt how much he cares and how much time he's put into each and every one of those wrestlers in his wrestling room. You may understand better than anyone, Adam, how quick a match goes by. It's just 7 minutes after all. What are some of your favorite moments or stories from your time with the Fighting Illini? It doesn't even necessarily have to be on mat, but moments similar to the one with Heffernan that really resonate with you from your time in college.
Oh, man. I think the thing I remember most is the training and stuff we did together as a team. The matches, like you said, are quick. you know, you put all this effort in, and you know, you get to showcase it for 7 minutes, and then, you know, you go through the season, you do that a couple times, you know, you go to the national tournament and win, you gotta win 5 matches. And so, while there's a lot of great moments, you know, winning matches, just a lot of the training. I mean, you understand how intense and dedicated that, you know, the guys on the team are right now. I mean, you go up there, and like I said, I remember like one specific instance. I remember we were training, and you know, you're driving towards something, and you believe you're going to get there, and I was wrestling actually really well at the time. And it was late in practice, and it was me and Mike Castillo, who was our 41-pounder below us, and shot in. I was really tired. He was tired, so he didn't move his leg, kind of just lifted his the bottom of his leg, and his knee came up and hit me right in the eye, just split my eye open. You know, right? It happens a decent amount, right above the, you know, right on my eyebrow. And I remember just, like, literally going outside, you know, right outside Huff Hall there on the third floor by the elevator and just crying. I mean, just crying because, and not because your eye got split open. I didn't care about that. I cared because I knew I was going to have to go. I had in practice, I had to go to the hospital, get it stitched up, probably couldn't practice the next day, and you're just thinking about how you're missing out. And I know it's kind of crazy, but that's, you know, that's a level of, like, intensity and dedication it takes to be successful at that level. And you're crying because you're not going to get to work out. And, you know, it's funny to think about now, but that's one of the things I remember. You know, remember doing the preseason running and the things you did on, you know, things you did on your own. You know, a good story of mine was I student taught my senior year, the second semester. And so, I initially thought I wanted to go to teaching. And so, but I was training for the Nationals, and Mark actually begged me not to, so I shouldn't student teach, but I did anyway, because we kind of had that personality. So we took an Aerodyne bike over to Champaign Central, and literally would go into the locker room, the coach's locker room, at lunchtime and do, like, Aerodyne sprints. And if anybody's ever been on Aerodyne, done Aerodyne sprints, they'll know what I'm talking about. But, I mean, it's literally, like, one of the most painful experiences you can have. It's a terrible, terrible workout. But that's why you do it, because it's great for you. And so I would do that in between, you know, student teaching at lunch, and then come back, and I'm sure I looked just like absolute death. And, you know, they would, the people in the PE room would just look at me like, oh, my God, what is this guy doing? But, you're just thinking, hey, you know, I got to do this. Like, I can't miss out on this. You know, I need this for, you know, for the end of the year. I need this to be the best I can be. I need this to be in the shape I need to be in going into the postseason. So you just did it. And except I can't imagine doing that now. But those are the things that, you know, those are the things, some of the things that stood out where you're just like, it just becomes a, you know, a different type of relationship. I remember asking Mark to come put me through, you know, sprints around the armory, you know, the armory track, and that was the same time student teaching. That was a different day. You know, just getting ready. You're doing everything you can because, you know, you're trying to get ready to be successful.
I cannot have a conversation with you and not ask about the national championship back in 2001. When you think of March 17th, 2001, where does it rank in your top moments? And I say that being mindful you have a wife and 3 kids.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just a lifetime accomplishment. There's no question. I mean, I still remember it. Still remember how it felt. Still remember, you know, I mean, this is what it means. Like, I remember waking up, I still do, less nowadays, but waking up weeks and months after that, you know, with, like, dreams that, like, you know, it hasn't happened yet. And then you wake up and you're like, no, it did. I won. Like, it's over. Like, I actually did it. And so, I mean, like I said, it's something that's on your mind and you put so much effort into and literally, you know, live, sleep, eat, breathe for so long that it almost doesn't seem believable. And like I said, it was just an incredible emotional, you know, moment from, you know, you just think about, said immediately, you think about all the things you did and all the things you put into it. and that, you know, that it paid off. And kind of crazily, or, you know, you believe that it's going to happen, like there is no other possible outcome, because you almost have to believe that way. But realistically, like, the chances of it happening are not that good. But, I mean, that's just the mindset. That's what's kind of crazy and what makes it fun. And I really appreciate watching the college wrestlers nowadays, because I know, you know, their mindset and how much they're putting into it. And it's so entertaining. And none of them think they're going to lose. But, I mean, realistically, you know, there's only going to be one guy that wins.
When you have that defining moment in your life, do you ever think about what's next? I know back then, a lot of people consider amateur wrestling a gateway to MMA. Back then, UFC, I don't think, had that low weight classes. WEC was coming into form. World championships, obviously, for amateur wrestling. Did you ever consider trying to parlay your skills into something else athletic-related that wasn't necessarily coaching?
You know, I was going to try to make the Olympic team. I did it for 2 years. I wanted to go to, Bull, which I did after, right after my senior year. So I stayed around, coached my brother and his crew for 2 years as a grad assistant. And I just wanted to do other things. You know, I looked at guys that had been wrestling and trying to make Olympic teams or world teams and were now 30 years old and still assistant wrestling coaches and, you know, making $25,000 a year. And it nothing against those guys. Like, if that was a choice that I could have made, and good for them. In fact, two guys that made the Olympic team I wrestled with and had beaten before, and they'd beaten me too, and I was super happy for them. But at that time, I was like, hey, I got other things I want to do in life. Love wrestling, love where it's taken me. I did it until I was, 25 years old, and then got into the business world. And like I said, I have no regrets.
Final question, as we'll get you out of here on this. I know they just announced this Hall of Fame class last week, yet what do you think your emotions will be at the Hall of Fame induction ceremony in September? And do you think you'll swing by and show the kids Huff Hall and the wrestling room?
Yeah, 100%. So, I've always been kind of a person that, you know, I think it's a wrestling thing. It's ingrained in us. Like, if you're like a baseball player, right, you don't really have a way to prove you're like the best second baseman in the, you know, I mean, you can go on stats, right? You can go on all these different things. There's no real direct, like, wrestling has always been, it's a direct competition. Like, you know you're the best because you won. That's it. Like, I beat you. You can't beat me. So, I'm the best. So, I've always had, like, not got as excited about things that were not, you know, directly won just because they're not in your control. And it's just kind of a wrestling thing. But, you know, Josh called about the Hall of Fame thing, and I was, I was pretty excited about that. Obviously, I have great memories of Illinois. But I think it's set in more with, you know, all my friends and family and former teammates of, you know, I mean, tons of them have reached out and just said, you know, congrats, how great that is. And, you know, sort of the magnitude sets in that, man, I wrestled at, you know, Illinois. They've had sports there for 125 years or something, and I'm the, you know, really the first modern day wrestler to go in the Hall of Fame at Illinois. There's a couple other wrestlers there, but I think from the 50s and before. And it's just an incredible accomplishment. And except when people start, you know, messaging you, it kind of makes you think about it, and it's more humbling. And then I think the thing that I'm most excited about is bringing my kids back there, because I didn't have kids until I was 30, so they didn't, you know, see a lot of the things. And now my son's going to be 11 in June. My other one will be 8 in July. I have a daughter who will be 5 here in 2 weeks. They've seen the matches. Like, they'll be able to see Huff Hall and kind of – and my wife, too, played college soccer. So she was there at Illinois playing soccer. She was actually the first soccer group that ever came through at Illinois. So just see where we, you know, where we worked out, the weight room, the things we did – you know, the campus. I think I'm really excited about that, and kind of bring it home a little bit that, you know, my kids are actually going to get to see some of the stuff that we did. And then for our nostalgic purposes, just seeing it again.
Without a doubt. Adam, it was my pleasure to talk with you. I really appreciate you sharing those memories with us. Congratulations on your induction into the Fighting Illini Hall of Fame, and best wishes to you and yours. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate you having me.
There he is, Adam Tirapelli, someone I sure wouldn't want to be across from on a mat. By far the biggest guest in ISN Now's short history, and you have to love the story time, especially about Heffernan. Jim is so stoic in interviews and in the coach's chair, yet the one thing you cannot say about him is he does not dedicate himself in building great wrestlers and better people. Well, I'm not sure how we can top a Fighting Illini Hall of Famer for Episode 5. We gotta try though, right? Episode 5, let's head to the baseball diamond and talk to someone who very well could be in the Fighting Illini Hall of Fame when it's all said and done. Of course, it's Cole Kersiper, a freshman starting pitcher who really could not have taken to college baseball any better. 3-0 record, 4 appearances, sub-2 ERA. The stat line is pretty good if you ask me. We're going to get to know him a little bit better on Tuesday. Before then, what are you waiting for? Rate, review, and subscribe to ISN Now on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Follow me at PCWESNER, at PC Westner, if you liked today's episode. I enjoy talking about amateur wrestling, mixed martial arts, and everything in between. We'll get along just fine. Follow Illini Sports Night on Twitter at UI7ISN. Subscribe to our YouTube. It's Friday, so lookout weekend, here I come. Enjoy yours, I'll enjoy mine, and I'll see you next time.